Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's probably about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All the Gun Killings Keep Going On. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
We're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out a little bit more about that stuff by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame in the left side of your screen. At the top, it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that and you'll get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. This is our 94th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program can't be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story of the whole world for this week is on Twitter. We are holding at our reduced level of 117 followers. So we lost 3 followers and nobody's come back. Oh, well. The next thrill-packed episode of the WBAI Local Station Board will be held this coming Wednesday, June 8th at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 531,228,014 on Friday, and global deaths reached 6,297,306. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 84,640,384, and the death toll in America was 1,008,307. So, 3,758 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. This week's death toll is more than 1,100 people higher than last week's. So, okay, the death rate is going up kind of significantly there. This pandemic is not over, even though a lot of people are behaving as if it were. By the time this program airs on Saturday morning, all of those figures we quoted will be higher, of course, and this was all mostly preventable. In terms of the future, White House Chief Medical Advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci said this week that, quote, "We're going to be dealing with this virus on a chronic basis. We really hope it will reach a level low enough that it doesn't disrupt us to the extent that it has over the past couple of years," unquote. COVID-19 case numbers have been increasing nationwide over the past couple of weeks, and average daily case numbers in New York City have nearly doubled. Dr. Fauci said that all Americans can expect to get regular boosters in the future, just as some of us do with the influenza vaccinations. Well, the Russian invasion of Ukraine continues. Russia continues to bombard residential buildings, and Germany and the United States have agreed to send sophisticated artillery rocket systems to Ukraine, although these will not have the range to allow Ukrainians to bombard Russia, which Russia deserves. People will remember that the Ukrainians sank the Moskva, the Russian flagship in the Baltic Sea, a couple of months ago. I've been seeing speculation online from various people that the Moskva may have been carrying nuclear weapons. It was certainly capable of carrying such weapons. It was made to be able to carry such weapons. And if it was carrying nukes when it sank, then they're still down there. That could be a complication. Geez, you know, I mean, some Ukrainian patriots could decide, let's swim down and see if we can find anything useful. Oh boy, that'd be something. Watch what's left of the Russian fleet go up in a mushroom cloud. However, it's probably, the water's probably too deep to go down there, and that sort of thing would be tremendously locked away in any event. Plus, you can't just shoot those things off like ordinary stuff. There are all sorts of safety precautions and things on them. And we know that because the Americans actually tutored the Soviets in, you know, making sure that, you know, some rogue people couldn't get a hold of their nukes and start World War III, which is in the interest of both countries there. So probably not, but it could be interesting that there may possibly be some nuclear warheads that are going to end up mixing in with the Black Sea at some point. But I'm sure it'll take a long time for the lot of metal that's around them to corrode away. So we've had more shootings, more mass shootings this past week. A hospital, a church, a couple of outdoor festivals, a high school graduation and a funeral. And those are just the ones that count as mass shootings where you have four or more people shot. There have been others where a single person is murdered and plenty of that going on, but that doesn't count in these calculations. And also this week, an 18-year-old and a 10-year-old have gotten arrested for making noises about shooting up a school. And with the 18-year-old, geez, you know, we've had two 18-year-olds going out with guns and murdering people, so did he want to be arrested, I guess? With the 10-year-old, you know, that's still a stupid thing to do, but 10 isn't 18, but he's still under arrest, and he's probably going to have it pointed out to him that this is certainly not the time to go pulling little pranks like that. And then, not to leave adults out of the picture, one parent in Texas was carrying his pistol in a school when it somehow went off and shot him in the leg. Yeah, he got arrested too. And you're not supposed to be carrying guns into their schools in Texas. One of the rare places, I guess, you can't carry a gun. And unless you're like law enforcement or something. And so he's under arrest for that. And what a dope. and he couldn't get away because he shot himself in the leg. Meanwhile, New York State has passed new laws requiring that you be 21 years old to buy what are being called assault rifles. Sometimes they get the idea that something's an assault rifle simply because of the way it looks. Oh, well, anyway. So I hope this law is actually about things like AR-15s and like that, and not about things that just might look scary or whatever. And, of course, we also have this new law where if people are able to convince, I guess, a judge that you're just a little bit too wacky to have the gun around, that the gun can be taken away from you for a certain period of time. And they passed several other measures regarding guns, too, all of which are sort of being looked at on the federal level, and which have in the past been proposed on the federal level, and which have failed at the federal level, except, of course, for the assault gun ban, which was in effect for like a decade. And then the Republicans said, oh, we don't want that anymore. And after it was allowed to expire and people could get assault rifles again, the murder rate with those things went significantly upwards. And there is also a study showing that young people in America are dying of suicide by gun a hell of a lot. It's way up. It's up significantly over what it had been. And this is yet another thing that's happening with so many guns around and being left around by people where kids can get at them. And Pickles of the North has a thing or two to say here about guns and another country.
Well, right now, Parliament in Canada is in the process of even strengthening the gun laws there more. And they have pretty strong regulation there. The one kind of gun that is not strongly regulated are handguns. And when people commit crimes using guns, the majority of the crimes happen with people using illegal handguns. But many of the things that they're enacting now are the same as the things that are happening in New York State. I don't know about the body armor part, but the other things about having the police can take your gun if you are considered to be a danger to yourself or others. Pretty much in Canada, you can have a shotgun, rifle. They call the guns that they are concerned about military-style assault weapons, which are the
AR-15s, yeah, and stuff like that.
Canada's had two really big gun massacre crimes that happened. One was in 1989, where this guy went into a engineering college in Montreal and killed all the women in an engineering class. He murdered 14 women. The next one happened in 2020, where this guy, I think at one point he was posing as a Royal Canadian Mounted Policeman. This was in Nova Scotia. He went around during a 13-hour period and killed 22 people. So since then, they've decided to strengthen gun laws even more. This information I'm taking is from a New York Times article from May 31st. Canada plans tighter rules on firearms. Going to ban more than 1,500 models of rifles, including the AR-15, a popular military-style semi-automatic rifle. That had already happened, but now they're going a step further. If you have any one of those kind of rifles, you need to turn it into the government, and the government will pay you for it. If you want to have a handgun permit, forget about it unless you're in law enforcement or something else. They're not going to be issuing anything like that anymore. Yeah, the Prime Minister said, we are capping the number of handguns in this country. And they really, really mean it. And I think the thing that has spurred this and gotten the parliamentarians of all the different parties in Canada to agree is when they look across the border and see what is happening here. So this is an interesting point. The Small Arms Survey, a nonprofit organization based in Switzerland, estimated in 2017 that there were 12.7 million legal and illegal guns in civilian hands in Canada, or 34.7 firearms per 100 people. In the United States, it estimates there were more than 300 million guns in circulation, or 120.5 firearms per 100 people.
Oh, man.
So I think this illustrates why the same kind of gun violence doesn't happen in Canada as in the United States. I mean, we're all just people, but boy, I wish they had kept that ban on those assault rifles, because that really, really made a difference here. Anyway, it says, another quote from this article, automatic weapons have long been banned for civilians in Canada, and magazines for semi-automatic weapons are restricted. No gun may shoot more than 5 rounds without reloading. These things make a difference in, you know, your go-to weapon if you decide you want to go crazy because, oh, I don't know what, because you hate somebody for their religion or the color of their skin or because they didn't give you enough duck sauce for your meal,
yeah,
you know.
Guy.
Canada shows you can control things in a better way. And they're not taking away all the Canadians' guns, just the AR-15s, and which they should. I mean, and they are going to destroy all those guns. That's what they do with them. They destroy them. Something needs to be done. I'm glad New York State is doing what it's doing. I just hope the Supreme Court doesn't decide, we're going to slap that down.
Yeah, well, they already have the case before them. Sometime this month, they're going to release that decision, and they could, since it's a right-wing court, they could end up saying New York City and New York State's laws requiring permits can't have that, no. And if they decide that, it's going to be crazy around here, because we already have the phenomenon of the ghost guns coming in, and you've got all these kids who say, wow, I can get a gun. Now, I can understand that, because when I was a kid, I said, yeah, I should get a gun. A lot of that was based on watching movies and TV, where, you know, guys always had guns on them, and the guns made a difference in stuff. Because you had the Westerns all the time, and the Westerns were just all about guns all the time. And then you had detectives on TV, and the private eye was always, you know, drawing his gun and blowing somebody away. And so, also the serials, the old serials. And people would just be walking around in those old serials from the 30s and 40s, and they just happened to have a gun on them, and everybody just happened to have a gun in those serials. And it just gets into your head as a kid that, yeah, that's a thing, to have a gun. So now, I mean, back in those days, you know, people would say, are you nuts? You can't have a pistol, at least around here. I mean, in some other places, they said, oh, yeah, here, take this one. But these days, kids don't want to have guns, and since a lot of them do have guns, the ones who don't have guns also would like some. Now, you can go online and buy the parts. And if you have any mechanical aptitude whatsoever, you could put a gun together. You just buy the parts online that people will sell, and you got yourself a ghost gun. And, you know, somewhere you could probably scare up some ammunition for it. You know, most kids who put together a handgun aren't going to want to have hundreds of rounds. They're going to be satisfied with 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 rounds for the gun. So, yeah, things are already going to be bad with the ghost gun phenomenon. But if the Supreme Court says you can't do this licensing thing and this restrictive stuff anymore, oh boy, it's going to be really bad.
There is no reason for someone to have a weapon of war as part of their, it's my right to have a gun. No, No. And I bet the founding fathers would agree with me.
Well, they're, of course, that's 200 odd years ago, and that's the debate. That's the debate that's happening. You know, again, the other part of it is the Second Amendment mentions a well-regulated militia. Well-regulated. The word regulated is in the amendment. So you can't say there can't be regulations on guns. You can't say the Second Amendment says you can have unregulated guns all over the place because it has the word regulated in the amendment. But who knows what the Supreme Court's going to do? They've behaved horribly so far. We know they're going to overturn Roe v. Wade. And there'll be other things. Who knows what horrible thing is slouching out of that Supreme Court now. The prosecution of the January 6th insurrectionists continues. More than 800 of them have been arrested so far. A guy named Timothy Hale Cusinelli, who allegedly has ties to neo-Nazism in America, was convicted of 5 counts against him this past week. This rocket scientist's defense was that he didn't know that Congress met in the Capitol building. He said that he had some familiarity with the building, that he and the others who had listened to Trump's rally on January 6th, 2021 invaded in an effort to stop the certification of the 2020 election. But, according to CNN, he didn't know the specifics. Mr. Hale Cusinelli is reported to have said in his defense that, quote, I thought there were several buildings called Capitol Building. I did not realize that Congress met in the Capitol, unquote. During the trial, he did admit that he had taken college classes in American history and understood the function of the Electoral College. Hale Cusinelli had also sent out text messages in which he made anti-Semitic claims that Jews were, quote, controlling President Biden, unquote. Hale Cusinelli will be sentenced in September. And another insurrectionist who had attacked the Capitol after attending Trump's rally, former Proud Boys leader Henry Enrique Tarrio, will remain in jail while he's awaiting trial. He had asked to be let out on bond, but U.S. District Judge Timothy Kelly ruled that Tarrio had, quote, very strong, unquote, evidence against him, and that he presents a danger to society that should keep him in custody at least until his hearing takes place. Tarrio hadn't gone to the Capitol building that day because he was already in jail on a charge of burning a Black Lives Matter flag and bringing ammunition to Washington, D.C. Tarrio was sentenced to over 5 months in jail after he was convicted on those charges. Prosecutors are charging Tarrio and the others of using various electronic communications to coordinate an assault on the Capitol while Congress was in session. Tarrio had met with Stuart Rhodes, who heads the Oath Keepers militia group. Rhodes had been charged with seditious conspiracy. Tarrio himself is charged with conspiracy. So these people were cooking up what to do. And this one idiot couldn't go there because he was already locked up for doing bad things. And he still is under arrest for conspiracy because he's working with the other Proud Boy idiots. And he's no longer their leader. He's no longer the leader of the Proud Boys, he says. Jesus Christ, I hope these two people get multiple decades of prison time, because that was a terrible thing, and it's just so awful. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. All aboard for the Save WBAI train. Yes, WBAI has to make up money to pay for our tower rent again. Yeah, it's a big expense. It's over $16,000 a month, and we got to do it. If we can't use that tower at 4 Times Square, you ain't going to hear us, at least on the air anyway. So what we're doing is we're pitching. We're asking you to help us out and contribute to the WBAI Tower Fund and help us out. And you can become a BAI buddy for this, and you can call 1-212-209-2950. Say to the person who picks up at the call center that you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. Tell them how much you would like to donate every month, because the BAI buddy is the name of our sustaining membership. And tell them what day of the month you would like your credit card or your charge card charged. And you can do it that way. Or you can simply say you want to make a one-time donation to help with the Tower Fund. Again, in the name of Back of the Book. That'd be nice. And you do that by calling the same number, 1-212-209-2950, and saying, I want to make a donation to the Tower Fund, and tell them how much you'd like to give us. Now, if you give us $25 or more, you will get to vote in this year's LSB elections. The local station board holds elections this year, and you'll be able to vote in it if you are a member. A member is someone who's donated $25 or more. So, 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call and say, I want to become a BAI buddy, or I want to make a one-time donation, all of which is going to go to help WBAI pay the tower rent, the vital tower rent. And you can say, gee whiz, there we are. We got to do that. We want to get on that there train and get ourselves to the tower here. And it's not a water tower, it's an antenna tower. So yes, please call that number, 1-212-209-2950. And now some of you may decide, no, I don't want to take a train. It's too much. The trains are annoying these days. I want to take something that's more environmentally friendly. And I'm going to take my bicycle and ride over there. And I'm going to go over there, and I'm still going to call 1-212-209-2950. And I'm going to say, I want to make a donation to WBAI's Tower Fund. And just honk that horn and get people out of your way on your bicycle. I hope you're not going to ride it on a sidewalk, however, because that's bad. 1-212-209-2950. And you can call that number right now and say, yeah, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or I want to make a one-time donation to the Tower Fund in the name of Back of the Book. And, you know, we're pitching here, and we're hoping that you like what we do. We're certainly hoping that. And if you do like what we do, isn't it worth, like, some money? You know, that's what we need. We need to have people say, hey, I wanna become a member, and I want to keep Back of the Book on WBAI, and I want to keep WBAI on the air. All sorts of wild things are done on this radio station. this program is one of them. And, you know, we generally do talk about science topics and stuff, and we do more of that usually, but we haven't lately because there've been all these shootings and things, and it's really, you know, you got to pay attention to what's going on, and that has really distracted us from a number of science things that we've wanted to talk about. And I hope the shootings are done and that we can get back to doing more science stuff. But we are asking you to please help us out here. Help us out and say, yes, I want to become a BAI buddy, or I want to make a one-time donation. And again, $25 means not only can you vote in this election, you could run in this election. Hey, some crazy people have run, and they've gotten on the local station board. You can join the crazy people. No, you better not put it that way. Anyway, 1-212-209-2950. That's the number to call right now and say you want to become a member of WBAI, either by becoming a BAI buddy, a sustaining member, or by making a one-time donation to the Tower Fund. And you can get on over to your phone. You can get on over to your phone. You can use the train. Take a train to your telephone, or bicycle on over to your telephone. Or if you're not necessarily in the most urban area, ride your cow to the telephone and say, moo. I want to make a donation to Back of the Book and WBAI. 1-212-209-2950. Ride that cow now and say you want to make a big donation. You can do more than $25. You can make whatever amount you want in a donation. For the BAI Buddy, which you get by calling 1-212-209-2950, you can tell them how much you want to give every month, because the BAI Buddy sustaining membership means you donate once a month to WBAI. And that would work out, I think, pretty decently. So 1-212-209-2950. And, you know, we don't get the feedback because we're pre-recording this. So we don't know if anybody has called. And hey, if you have donated, you might write to me, rpm@glib.com. That's an email address. I know some people think email is old-fashioned these days. Good grief. But yes, if you want to, if you've donated, you can write to me and say that you have done so. I am rpm@glib.com, glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com. And say that, let us know if you've donated. Again, final time, 1-212-209-2950. We hope that some of you will call. Well, it's Pride Month, of course, and all sorts of things are happening this month. I'm wondering, are people going to complain about one particular aspect of the weather? We have a possible transgendered storm. Hurricane Agatha started out in the Pacific Ocean, got to be a hurricane, and blasted its way across Mexico. And now it has gone across Mexico and come out at the Yucatan Peninsula, site of the Chicxulub crater, and it's gone into the Gulf of Mexico. So, since it's crossed from the Pacific to the Gulf of Mexico, Caribbean, Atlantic waters, it has to be given a new name. And the new name, if it strengthens, will be Alex. So Agatha becomes Alex. We have a transgendered storm. How fitting that it happens in June. So I wonder if some people are going to complain about this. And hey, they might just... Some of them are really, really stupid who are homophobes. Speaking of homophobes, in Virginia, a murderer got away with his crime using the old gay/trans panic defense. Former Virginia Tech football player Isimemen Itutu was acquitted of second-degree murder after a trial that lasted 3 days. Itutu killed Jerry Paul Smith, whom he had met on Tinder. Smith had said he was a woman and had given Itutu a blowjob and $50 on April 10, 2021. After a while, some of Itutu's friends suggested that Smith, who had said his name was Angie Renee, was in fact male. On May 31st, 2021, Itutu and two football teammates went to Smith's apartment. The two teammates stayed outside. Itutu determined that Smith was male and said he, quote, felt violated, unquote. In short order, Itutu left Smith with bleeding on his brain, missing teeth fragments, and nearly all the bones of his face broken. At the trial, he claimed self-defense. When police searched the murder scene, they found a knife under the mattress. But Itutu never said anything about that when he was talking to the police or prosecutors. And Itutu said nothing about fearing for his safety when he was questioned 3 days after he'd killed Smith. In his testimony in court, however, he said that he feared Smith was reaching for a weapon. Itutu's defense attorney, Jimmy Turk, told reporters the not guilty verdict was, quote, one of the proudest moments, unquote, of his 36-year career. He also called the dead man's actions, quote, evil, unquote. Yeah, this sort of defense is not allowed in a whole lot of states. It's an old thing that is used by all sorts of groups, homophobes, bullies, and it's been used a lot, and that's why it's banned in many states, apparently not in Virginia. Also, Itutu and his pals went over to see Smith 7 weeks after the blowjob had happened. So this isn't like in the middle of a moment he's got this panic. See, that's the thing in the gay panic or trans panic, as we call a lot of them now, where you've had sex with somebody and suddenly you realize they're not female and so you kill them. And this has happened, you know, any number of times. It's happened where like a gang will attack a gay man and beat him badly, sometimes kill him. And then they'll say, well, he was coming on to us and we freaked out because, ooh, homosexuality is so bad that we just couldn't stand it. You know, we do have like 6 or 8 or 10 guys. They're all afraid of this other guy. And, you know, and in general, sometimes these defenses have failed terribly in the past because there have been things like other witnesses who said they were just harassing him and then they went over and beat him to death. This happens. And so this sort of defense is banned in quite a number of states, but it has not been banned federally yet, but people keep bringing it up and trying to pass the laws that will stop this sort of thing from happening. But in Virginia, apparently you get to do this. And, you know, obviously, as part of discovery, the defense found out that a knife had been found under the mattress and they made up the story. It's, okay, what you do is you get up there and you say, hey, I was afraid that he was going to grab that knife that I couldn't see that was under the mattress, which I didn't know about. And so, therefore, in self-defense, I killed him. But really, it's another thing of his friends were probably ragging him about it. You got a blowjob from a guy. And this made him very angry. And he took his revenge and murdered Mr. Smith.
And so this murderer and his co-conspirators, the two people that went with him while he committed this murder.
Well, they stayed outside. They didn't.
They knew what was happening.
I'm sure
they knew
did.
What was happening. They knew, and I'm sure they were there to prevent anyone from leaving that apartment. So they get to walk around free.
Yeah. So we got another homophobic murderer out there, and a defense attorney who, to me, seems like one of the slimiest pieces of crud going. You know, lawyers don't enjoy a great reputation in this country, and people like this, what's his name? Jimmy Turk? Really? That's the sort of person who helps to give lawyers a horribly bad reputation. Early Friday morning, that's yesterday morning, while you're listening on the air, the New York State Legislature passed a bill that will temporarily halt new large-scale cryptocurrency mining operations in New York State. The Assembly passed this bill back in April. The state Senate surprised some people by passing it in the wee hours of Friday morning by a vote of 36-27. It had been looking like it was dead, but at the last minute, the votes for it showed up after a lot of calls for its passage by environmentally active New Yorkers. It now needs Governor Hochul's signature to become law. So-called mining for cryptocurrencies uses up an enormous amount of energy to power the computers that run the mathematical programs that create new cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin. In an article in the May 2022 Scientific American, they say, in 2021, mining a single Bitcoin required enough electricity to power an American household for 9 years. And the more bitcoins are mined, the more power is needed to earn new ones. So this is something that really is draining on power. And also, they're using up fossil fuel. And this is what a lot of people are concerned about, is using all of that fossil fuel, because now, one Bitcoin is a big thing, okay? It isn't like they have gazillions of Bitcoins. There can only be 21 million Bitcoins. And it used to be that at some point, a Bitcoin was worth, like, supposedly, $8,000. So a Bitcoin is a pretty big thing. And you have to crunch a lot of numbers for it. And as you get more, as more Bitcoins are done, the next Bitcoin becomes harder to do. So you got to use up even more electricity. So what some groups have been doing is getting a hold of defunct power plants and devoting them to powering the computers. So that shows you what kind of a scale this thing can get up to. I remember that several months ago, the so-called People's Republic of China was kicking cryptocurrency mining operations out of that country. At that time, one of the largest organizations doing the mining said that they were going to relocate their operations in the United States of America. This new legislation only applies to new permits or renewal permits for power plants, and it requires the Department of Environmental Conservation to issue a generic environmental impact statement after the close of the public comment and a public hearing period. Environmentalists are, of course, glad that this legislation has been passed and are urging the governor to sign it into law right away. Meanwhile, the Blockchain Association, which is based in Washington, D.C., and which represents the blockchain and cryptocurrency industries, vowed to continue fighting the measure and called on Governor Hochul to veto the, quote, misguided bill, unquote. They're also claiming that this will cost jobs in New York. That's always the thing. Oh, jobs, yes, you know. Yeah, you can always cite something like that, and politicians fall for it a lot. The Blockchain Association also issued a statement that said, quote, "We encourage all pro-tech New Yorkers to make their voices heard and ask the governor to veto," unquote. It's being reported that there are 30 power plants in New York State that have been repurposed to mine for cryptocurrencies. So that's quite a few. I mean, grabbing a hold of an entire power plant and using it for the exclusive purpose of powering computers that are going to crunch numbers and, you know, mint make-believe money. Now, that's the deal. It's make-believe. You know, you want to talk about, people have talked about for years, fiat currencies like the dollar. The dollar is a fiat currency. It's a dollar because the United States government says this is a dollar. And enough people agree to that, that you can trade it back and forth for money. You no longer need to show up with a certain weight of gold or silver or something like that. Or you know, to trade your cow for some magic beans or whatever. Well, in this case, in my opinion, these cryptocurrencies are themselves the magic beans. And so it is, I had not known that they were using entire power plants. And it was one coal-based power plant up in upstate New York where it was shut down. And so these people bought it and they converted it to use natural gas, which isn't as bad as coal, but is still, you know, causing greenhouse gases. And so they were grinding it out up there, and a lot of people were upset because it's a power plant that's devoted to these guys making make-believe money. I mean, monopoly money is, you know, more substantial. Anyway, in that Scientific American I was talking about from May, it says, last year, 16% of Americans claimed to have speculated on cryptocurrencies. And this is, you know, quite something there. Quite a few people getting into this, and it's not really a great idea. It's all based on a blockchain, which for cryptocurrencies is a digital ledger that records transactions, and it's publicly put out. It's decentralized, and it can be used for a variety of different things. It could also, a blockchain can also keep track of medical records and other financial transactions and stuff like that. However, most people know it for cryptocurrencies. And so there's a lot of speculation on cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin, because that's the biggest one. And they're volatile. Bitcoin once dropped 30% in a single day. And it's done something like that recently also. And it's also anonymous a lot of the time, because this is what a lot of the criminals, cyber criminals want for ransomware. They say, send us a certain amount of Bitcoin and we'll tell you how to get your computer back. They may or may not give you your computer back, give you the password to get it back. But if you pay them, you got to pay them in Bitcoin. And so this is a big problem. Also, where do you keep it? Well, you keep it generally in a cryptocurrency exchange. And that can be a problem because sometimes those are run anonymously. And the person running the exchange can take in all of the money from, some people buy, they don't generate it, they buy Bitcoin or cryptocurrency. So you send them real money and they say, you are now the proud owner of X amount of Bitcoin. And the person can take that money and say, yeah, you got it, but never do anything about it. Just keep it all because you usually leave the cryptocurrency with the exchange. And various people have run away with it. There was, In 2021, scammers stole $14 billion worth of cryptocurrencies. There was also another multi-billion dollar uh-oh that happened. This is a couple of years ago. One guy, he was being honest. He was running a cryptocurrency exchange, and he was running it, and he was being very secure. And he had everything locked up nice and tightly, and then he died. The ultimate key to the cryptocurrency exchange was in his brain. He never wrote it down for security reasons. He knew what it was. He could type it in a computer, but after he was dead, people lost billions of putative dollars in Bitcoin. And also some of them had sent money in to him and said, give me $100 worth of cryptocurrency. So the guy got $100 that way. And now the real money, of course, must be in a bank, and they'll be able to get that out. But all of the cryptocurrency is locked up. And because of the really, really good encryption that's used, you're not going to crack that thing. And so, yeah, these things are just really stupid for people. In the article in the Scientific American, it references the mortgage market derivatives that caused the 2008 financial crisis. And it says crypto has become a mass market product advertised to everyday users. Whereas for that mortgage scam, it wasn't just everybody who could get it. It was people who knew how to speculate on the mortgages that turned out to be no good. However, now everyday users can get into cryptocurrency. And it says the risk of creating bubbles that could bankrupt untold numbers of people is the same. And it says this industry is better monitored or regulated. Investing in crypto or NFTs remains a gamble taken in the dark. So this is stuff that's going on, and in general it's bad news, but when they take over a power plant, holy hell.
This is a bunch of bull crap for greedy people who think they can get something for nothing, basically, is what it adds up to.
Yes.
Yes, and screwing with the environment to boot. Wow.
Yeah, people will do any goddamn thing for money.
This should be shut down.
That's been it for Back of the Book. We'll be back next week. Coming up next is
Arts Express with Prairie Miller.
And this Pride Month, it's June. Oh boy, the weather's going to get nicer. And if you are able to get out, take care, wear a mask, be careful. I know most people are not doing that anymore. If you can't, look out the window and enjoy that. And above all, remember what that not gonna gamble on cryptocurrency Dormouse said.
In your head and dead on your feet, well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. You used to think that easy. You used to say that it was so easy, but you're trying to